today. They're evidently going to be regulars again. All right. Well, this morning, the title of our message is Don't Waste Precious Time. Now, I know there's some things in our lives that are extremely important to each and every one of us. And some of them, we would even consider them, I mean, they're extremely important. We would consider them as being precious in our life. Things like our spouses, our children, in some cases, maybe even a pet. And that, of course, is a good thing. I say that because God has designed us to love and love each other. He's designed us to be happy. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have the things we can treasure in our life. Each and every one of these things we treasure, we need to understand, is a gift from God. James 1:7 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither the shadow of turning. But I'm afraid that for the most part, people don't really treasure the most important gift, the most precious gift God has given us. And that, my friend, is the time that we have on this earth to do the things that God would have us to do. He's given each one of us a certain amount of the time. He controls the beginning and the ending for each of us. In other words, God's decided when we're going to be born, when we're going to die. That's in Ecclesiastes 3:2, a time to be born and a time to die. But by our free will, He has put you and me in charge of the time that we have according to the free will. And within this short period of time, we're free to determine our eternal existence. We're free to decide where we want to spend eternity, and whether we want our rewards on this earth or whether we want to enjoy our rewards in eternity. In other words, the choice we make while we're on the earth is going to follow us. First, our choice about biblical acceptance of Christ in life will determine where our eternity is going to be. Secondly, we choose as to whether we are build our treasures in heaven or on earth. Thirdly, we will be judged for those choices we made, whether they be good or bad. Romans 2:16 says, the day when God judged the secrets of man by Jesus Christ according, in the day when Christ, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And when we talk about secrets, the Bible's very clear, there is no secrets between you and God. No secrets between me and God. It says in Hebrews 4:13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest, that means made known in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto His eyes, unto the eyes of Him whom we have to do. That should be why we should consider this precious commodity called time and use it very wisely. Turn with me, if you will, to our text for this morning. It's Ephesians 5. We're going to look at 5 through 21. Ephesians 5. We're going to begin in verse 15 and go through 21. So if you got your Bibles open to Ephesians 5, we're going to begin in 15. It says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house today, Lord. We pray that you would just be with each one of us now, Lord, as we go through this day, and that you would just bless your word this morning. And I pray for that you would help us here at Emmanuel Baptist Temple, and Lord, that you would be guide us in the new pastor that will be coming, Lord, whoever he is. We pray that tonight, if the church is willing, that Jonathan Heath would accept the call. And I pray for those that have forsaken you this morning and do not feel the need to worship. And I pray for our country and its leaders. And I pray now that you bless the message and the messenger. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. And we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen. Now in this chapter, the Apostle Paul was doing his best to encourage the church at Ephesus to walk in Christian love and turn away from ungodly ways. Now, Paul was a man of God that loved his church, just as pastors and people love their churches today. And we see him doing his very best to convince them to love others as Christ loved them. Let's go back and look at the beginning of this chapter, Ephesians 5, verse 1. And we see the point of Paul that Paul's trying to make here. We see him trying to motivate the people to act like children of God. It says in Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now look at Paul's plea here. He wants them to be followers of God as dear children, even on this earth. A dear child of God is not one that's in rebellion or unruly. It would be one that obeys the word of God. He goes on to tell us in 5:2 that we should use Christ as an example. It says in verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So we're to walk in love. That we should, our whole demeanor should be a love, because that's how Christ walked. Now, walking in love of Christ for each of us is much different lifestyle than most Christians are willing to live today. We know that Jesus was obedient right down to his death. Even though we cannot live a sinful life, we can live a godly life. And we can be a servant of God. In Romans 12:1, if you want to turn there, it's a very recognizable verse, because we use it, and it tells us what our duty is. Romans 12:1, it says, "I beseech you." Now, the word "beseech" there has the meaning of begging. And it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, when we talk about presenting ourselves as a sacrifice, what he's talking about there is us sacrificing our time, our love, and spreading around the love of Jesus Christ. Telling other people that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means he wants us to live a Christ-like life. He wants us to be a Christ-like person. And he doesn't say that he would just like it. He says it's our reasonable service. The Bible says that if we're true followers of God, we will seek his ways. We'll look how God walked, or how Christ walked, and we'll seek that out. And it tells us in Colossians 3:1-2, tells us if we're born again, that's what we're going to do. And here's this big word again that I use, that the Bible uses quite often in Colossians 3:1. It begins, "if." Okay, there's a question. Are you? It says, "If you be risen in Christ." In other words, are you risen in Christ? If you are risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. This is God trying to tell you and I what's important in this precious time that he's given us on this earth. It's not about earthly things. It's about heavenly things. Now, if we go back back in Matthew 6:34, he don't need to tell us, but God tells her to turn there, but God tells us, don't worry about it. It says the earthly things are going to take care of themselves. They'll work out on their own. Our worrying isn't going to change anything. It says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So now if we go back to Ephesians 5:2, the beginning of Ephesians again, we see Paul use the life and sacrifice of Christ as the example of how we are. We as children of God, and how we should be obedient as Christ was. Ephesians 5:2. It says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In other words, what he's saying is, Christ willingly gave his life for you and I. He was willingly died on the cross for you, and he died for me. He died for every single soul that's hearing this message this morning, and every single soul in the world, Christ died for you. Christ died for you. So it's up to us. It's up to you and I how we live our life. It's up to you and I as to whether we accept Christ as our personal Savior. But we need to transform ourselves. This kind of love can never be accomplished by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves, folks. It can only come through the reading and the learning of God's Word and prayer and fasting and sacrificing our time, our efforts. In doing so, we will do our best to fulfill the Word of God and cleanse ourselves from the filth of the world. Back to Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. That's the easiest thing to do in today's world. Because we have social media. We have absolutely everything that draws the world into you and I. 50 years ago, it wasn't that way. Today, we have the world at our fingertips. Turn on the TV and the world just fills your living room. You don't find much on there that isn't worldly. So if we try to live a godly life without the essentials of reading our Bibles, without learning what God wants us to learn, praying and living, actually living what the Bible tells us, how the Bible tells us to live, we'll soon find out, if we don't, that it's not the godly spirit that's leading us. It's soon going to be the worldly spirit. The worldly spirit can work in there. The old devil, he's slick. You know, he's been doing this for thousands of years. He started out with Eve. Then he turned to Adam. And now we're all under his hand. Now we as children of God, if you're here and you're born again this morning, Satan can't have your soul. But he can get into your mind. He can mess with our minds, folks. He can. Now Paul's telling them not to even associate with those that are ungodly. And you and I both know that just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean they're a godly person. Does not mean that at all. Doesn't mean they're living a godly life. Doesn't mean that they worship the Lord. Paul tells them, and he's telling you and I this morning, don't get tangled up with those kind of people. Because if you do, they will soon drag you down to their level. I've been there and done that. I know. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, I kind of think that means if people are not willing to accept him, he's not going to receive us. That's one of the most important reasons one needs to know Christ as our personal Savior. Not only know Christ, Christ wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He's walking right beside us every day. Every hour, every minute of every day, he's beside us. And he wants you and I to recognize that. He wants you and I not to take him into bars, not to take him to places, not to turn on these TV shows which he has to watch with us. Because trust me, he's there watching with us. And He's in your mind. He knows what's going on in your mind. You can kid yourself about what you're thinking and what you're not thinking, but He knows what we're really down in deep thinking. He's telling the Ephesians in our text this morning. He's saying the same thing. Look at Ephesians 3:3-6. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you. As becometh the saints." Now, we're not necessarily talking about worldly fornication here or sexual sins. We're talking about spiritual fornication, which James talks about. And when we talk about spiritual fornication, we're talking about you and I. When we go out there and we join the world, we go out there and we begin to do some things the world wants us to do. We're in spiritual fornication with our husband, so to speak. Jesus is our husband. We're His bride. And we go out there and we start fooling around with the old devil's world. It's not a good thing. Now, and then in verse 4, it goes on to name the things that you and I should separate ourselves from. Look at Ephesians 5:4. It says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Now we need to think about those things a little bit. He goes on to tell us not to be deceived by men and women that are either in opposition to or in contradiction to God's word. Ephesians 5, 6, and 7. It says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." And that's where I say you need to be careful with these new Bibles. Well, let's call them books. Okay? These new books that call themselves Bibles. It says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not partakers with them." The world and churches are full of disobedient Christians today. And we need to be careful not to become a part of that. Now, what do you suppose this is? It's because people are being deceived. Being deceived by these same people God has warned us about. In verse 6, "No man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Now once again, we see through the pen of Paul that God is telling us what type of Christian life we should live. If we look at Ephesians 5, 9, and 10, we see the fruits of the Spirit. This is what He expects of us. In Ephesians 5, 9, and 10, it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, in righteousness and truth." The fruits of the Spirit are elaborated a little more if you go in the previous book back to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, or 22 through 25. It says, but I'll just read it to you. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," and it goes on, "meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's," in other words, if we're saved here this morning, it says, "they that are Christ have crucified the flesh." In other words, we've died to the world. So crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God is a Holy Spirit. He just as holy as the Son of God and God, because they are one. If you notice, in both passages, the word Spirit is capitalized. And that, of course, is referring to God, the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25, "We live in the Spirit," again capitalized, "let us also walk in the Spirit." You see, living in the Spirit would mean that you and I are living a godly life. We would be doing nothing that would quench the Spirit. We would in no way want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30 through 32, it tells us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, the whole world is sealed by the Spirit of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now you just think about that statement there. It says, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There's no one of us sitting here today need or deserve to be forgiven. Not a single one of us deserve heaven. But praise God, He was willing to come and die so you and I could go to heaven. Now Paul's dealing here with a church that has some bitter and angry people in it. We've seen that here in our text, and we're told to separate ourselves even from those folks. In Ephesians 1, we saw God tell us to be good children of God, and then we should put away these angers. When I first went to the very first church I had, it was an angry church. It was a two-sided church. It really was. And I mean, there was so much anger in that church. I think I probably told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again, okay? But we had a business meeting, my very first business meeting. I had Grumpy. I always called him Grumpy. He sat right back there in that last pew over there in the corner. And he got up and he started yelling. I said, hey, hold it. And then somebody else started it. I says, okay, the meeting is adjourned. He says, you can't do that. I says, I just did. We shut it down. And I was talking to one of the guys afterwards, and they says, well, you know, we used to really get into it in business meetings. We're used to doing that. He says, years ago, we used to go out in the parking lot and we'd have fist fights. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a church going out in the parking lot and having fist fights? Now, I don't know whether that was true or not. I never seen anybody out there fighting, but they said they used to do it. And they were out of Kentucky, a bunch of coal miners, you know, and that's I'm not saying anything bad about Kentucky. I'm not, really not, but you know, some of those guys were. And we've got to be careful because we got some people that are spending a lot of time in Kentucky, so we need to be careful. Watch out for those Kentuckians, Robin. But anyhow, I'm just kidding. Anyhow, but you see, Paul's dealing here with that church that had a lot of angry people. And God wants us, let's go back to our text, Ephesians 5:11 and 5:11 and 12. Paul's telling us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, the word darkness here, of course, has the meaning of the world. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You see, we're to walk very carefully in this world, not as a fool. Because fools, there's a lot of foolish Christians out there today. There's a lot of foolish people that think that they can live in the world one day and live in the church the next day and then go back into the world the next day. But Ephesians 5:15 says, see that you walk circumspectly. That means cautiously, carefully, not as fools, but as wise. And we're to make good use of our time. It says in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We were just talking out there this morning about how evil the world is today. How evil. We were talking about this lady I saw being interviewed on TV the other night. And it was all about white male had too much masculinity. That needs to be done away with. And they say it's the rage in college today. They all have professors teaching how men should not have all this. They say we've had power for too long. It's time for the women to come in and take some power. Well, I don't really think, if I look in Genesis, I don't really see that. But we won't get into that. But I fast-forwarded through it. I listened to it a little bit, and it's just sickening, so I just fast-forwarded through it. But you see, we can get around all this. We really can. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So when we say, well, you just can't get away from it, but sometimes we can get away from it. Not all of it. We'll never get away from all the world because the world's all around us and we got to be in the world to make our living and so on and so forth. But we don't need to invite the world into our life. And another one of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So when we say we can't should not be in a Christian's dictionary. It just should not be in their vocabulary at all because it says, I can do all things. And as we go on, we need to understand what the will of God is for our life. Too many people go through their lives not really searching out God's will. I spent most of my life. No, I didn't know it at the time, but I know now I was out of the will of God for the biggest part of my younger life. If I'd have found myself, if I would have done what I know God wanted me to do, and like I said, my wife was a Baptist, and I was in a church that didn't teach anything. The only time cross was mentioned was on Easter. The rest of the time was most about the morning news or the weather or baseball game or some stupid thing like that, but she wanted me to go to the Baptist church. Well, I heard about that Baptist preacher down there. I says, hey, I am not going to go and get yelled at for an hour every Sunday. Now, I know God wanted me to go there. I believe if I'd have gone there, I'd have probably been preaching by the time I was 25 instead of 57. I really believe that honestly because I did not really seek out the will of God because I didn't want the will of God. That was the biggest threat. I didn't want him telling me what the Bible says. I was content to sit there listening to the evening news. But it says here in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is or what the will of the Lord is. We have to be very careful not to be obsessed with the things of the world, but fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. In our text, verse 5:18-19 of Ephesians says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now this morning, if you are grieving or hurting here this morning, we shouldn't be distraught. I know some of us older folks, we have our problems. But we need not to be distraught about them because in Psalms 30, verse 5, it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, we have the morning coming. We have the morning coming. You see, knowing that God's still on his throne looking down on us, we need to always give thanks for everything. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God, for the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, we're to submit ourselves. We talked about that the other day. Going to talk a little bit about it tonight. Submitting yourselves one to another. And here's that phrase again, in the fear of God. One of the things that too many of us are lacking is the actual fear of the Lord. Fear what might happen if we actually willfully sin. Actually be fearful of that. And we just need to understand and be thankful. Be thankful that we have a God that was willing to come and die for us. Think about that for a minute. Willing to leave his throne beside God the Father. Come down to be born of a virgin. Born in this earth. Ministered to us. Give us the whole New Testament. Actually, he's given us the whole Bible. And I pray this morning that you and I would find out, find God's will in our life. At least begin to search for it. We ask these things now in Jesus' name for us.